Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Pure as water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you.
Good day there, saints. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We've been studying the Melchizedek Priesthood, the Order of Melchizedek, and having a pretty good time at it. And thank you for joining us again for our little wilderness TV program. And we left off in Hebrews chapter 7. We'll take up right there. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for our time together with the brethren, study the Word. Lord, we love your Word. We want to learn to not add to it or take away from it, Lord, just as you've taught us and warned us. And Lord, we know that awesome truths are hidden there, and we just ask you to open our understanding, Father, that we can receive them. And help us to be willing, Lord, to give up our life in order to receive them, too. And Father, I ask you to bless all those that join us today, Lord, with a love for your word and a love for truth. And also, Lord, the right kind of spirit to study with other people. Some people are very demanding that we have to agree with them. And Lord, no, we're trusting in you to show us the way. We're trusting in you to reveal to us the truths that we need. And we can be at peace with others who don't necessarily agree with us. We can agree to disagree. We know that we all grow at a different rate, and we're all dependent upon you to open our understanding. So we thank you, Father. Thank you for blessing us today. Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I thought I would share maybe a few objections to this, what we've been teaching concerning the Melchizedek priesthood. I know this is a new thing that there is another order of Melchizedek in these days, at least to some of you. It's a new thing. And what we're still talking about Jesus, right? Jesus in us. Who is the Melchizedek order. And we didn't really get into chapter 7 yet. We were kind of hung up in the end of chapter 6. Hebrews 7 and 1, it says, For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of God Most High, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. We may look at that in Genesis 14 someday too, but right now I'm just going to talk more about what the text we see here. To whom also Abraham divided a tenth part of all, being first by interpretation king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, which is king of peace. We know Jesus is the prince of peace, but he's also the king of peace. You know, he's the prince because he's under the king, the Father, but also he is a king over this earth. He's the king of kings, so. Which is the king of peace, without father and without mother. This is a part that some, you know, argue concerning the doctrines that we've been speaking about. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. Now some say that because of this text, that Melchizedek couldn't be talking about men. It has to be talking about God, because it says without father and without mother. And yet we know that Jesus had no earthly father, but he did have an earthly mother, you know. And so people say, well, then men could not be a part of this order of Melchizedek. But then we have to remember that Jesus was both man and Son of God. Notice it says, like unto the Son of God. And notice it says, like unto the Son of God. He didn't say the Son of God. He says like unto the Son of God. And we, of course, are coming into his image. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We're transformed into that same image. That's like unto the Son of God. Right? From glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So it says like unto the Son of God, without father and without mother. And Jesus, you know, in Romans chapter 1, in verse 3, it says, concerning his son, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. You know, the Bible says the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. That was talking about primarily Jesus, right? And even Jesus in the end times, but it's still Jesus, right? But, you know, Jesus was son of man. He was of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was the son of man, but he was also the son of God. As son of man, he did have a mother. So therefore, if we look at our verse in Hebrews chapter 7, it says, without father, without mother, he wouldn't be qualified if you're talking about his humanity there. He would not be qualified to be of the order of Melchizedek. And yet we read on there in Romans chapter 1 and 3, it says, verse 4, it says, who was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord. So, he was Son of God according to the Spirit, and he was Son of Man according to the flesh. Okay? So, if we compare this to Jesus in Hebrews chapter 7, where it says, without father and without mother, we think this must not be talking about Jesus' humanity, because the next part of the verse says, without genealogy. Now, of course, that's talking about human genealogy. Fathers, mothers, so on and so forth, passing on. And so, we're not talking about the Son of Man part of Jesus at all, are we? We're talking about the Son of God here. We're talking about the man on the inside, right? In fact, he goes on to say, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Once again, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood has beginning of days and end of life, but the Son of God does not. Okay, so what I want to share with you is how Jesus coming in a body in our day is another end time fulfillment of the Melchizedek priesthood. Okay, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. Now we know that if Jesus does not live in us, then we are indeed reprobate, the Bible says. And we also know that it is a false doctrine that Jesus doesn't come in the flesh. That is an Antichrist doctrine. And we also know that Jesus is God, right? So therefore, if Jesus is God and Jesus is in us, then there is in us the Son of God. And also his word is recreating in us the manifestation of the sons of God, according to Romans chapter 8. In our soul and in our spirit and ultimately one day in our body. So there is some more agreement to this. If we go down a little bit further, say in verse 6, it says, but he whose genealogy is not counted from them hath taken tithes of Abraham and hath blessed him that hath the promises. His whose genealogy is not counted from them. Jesus could not be, according to this text, Jesus could not be a priest according to the law because he wasn't of the Levitical line. You know, he was of the line of Judah. But then again, Melchizedek couldn't have been a priest, you know, either. But verse 11 tells us, now if there was perfection through the Levitical priesthood, for under it hath the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest, that should arise after the order of Melchizedek. So in other words, the law and the priesthood that was of the law couldn't bring people to perfection, but there was a need for another priesthood to arise. And what kind of a priesthood is it that the Lord raised up when Jesus came, and what kind is he raising up in these days? Okay. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 15. And what we say is yet more abundantly evident, if after the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest. Who hath been made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. After the power of an endless life. Think about this now. This high priest is not made through the law, but he is made after the power of an endless life. What is this endless life that he's talking about? Well, the word life here is the word Zoe, and it's opposed to Suke, the most words for life in the scriptures, Zoe and Suke. And Zoe is the spiritual higher life, the life of God, whereas Suke speaks of the soulish life, the lower life, the self life. Okay? You know, every Christian, their soul, first they're born again in their spirit, and then as they obey their spirit, obey the word of God through their spirit, their soul is progressively becoming less and less self and more God, right? So there's becoming what the Bible calls sanctification, separation from the world. And so this life, this power of an endless life is the power of the Zoe and not the Suke. And we know that Jesus in John chapter 6, verse 35, he said, I am the bread of life. And that word there is the Zoe. Jesus is the Zoe. He is the God life. He is the spiritual life. And that life has to be in us. See, that's the call of God to us, is that we come into the God life and forsake the solical, selfish life. And 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us in verse 3, it says, seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life. This is the word Zoe. We need to be seeing that the Lord has already given us at the cross his life, his Zoe. He is the life, right? And he has given us everything that he is at the cross. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So this is what we have to see. This is how faith brings things to pass. We call the things to be not as though they were. And we're accepting at the very beginning of our Christian walk all of the life of Jesus Christ. So it says, seeing that his divine power has granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature. That's the life right there. The divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world by lust. So by faith, we accept this life. The life that he says, this endless life that he says, is the makeup of the Melchizedek priesthood. Who is going to fully enter into this life? You know, I mean, we've discovered that Jesus was called the first fruits. He was the first to bear fruit unto God, the fruit of a son of God. That was Jesus, right? The only begotten son of God. So in this day, you would think that would apply to the first to bear the fruit in these days, right? Well, I think that's very true. You know, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14 says, for narrow is the gate and straitened the way that leadeth unto Zoe, that's God's life, right? And few they be that find it. You know, the Bible tells us that many are called, but few are chosen. And in order for us to find this life, we're going to have to pick the narrow way. That's the only way to the life of God. Much of the church nowadays has picked the broad way. They've made it greasy grace. Basically, you can do anything you want and slide into the kingdom, right? But not so. You know, Jesus said quite clearly that as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It is going to be a narrow way. It's going to be a narrow group of people that enter in. It's a low percentage. And that are going to attain to that life or in the way of life, either way, you know. And also, you know, we, in order to obtain this life that makes up the Melchizedek priesthood, the man-child ministry, so on and so forth, we have to overcome in order to manifest that life. According to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, to him will I give to eat of the tree of life." So God promises the life, that we'll partake of that life if we overcome. Okay. And by the way, folks, Jesus said that he's already overcome the world. Be of good cheer. He's already taken care of that. All we've got to do is enter into the works that he's accomplished through our faith, and his overcoming power will be in us. It's not up to us to overcome. It's up to us to believe in him to overcome through us, right? And he will do it. For all those that have faith, they will have works, you know. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, to him will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And not only do we have to overcome to receive life, we have to overcome to keep that life. Because some people say, well, I've entered into the kingdom, I stepped over the line, I accepted Jesus as my Savior, so I'm a shoo-in, right? No, not so. It's another lie. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5 says, "He that overcometh shall thus be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of Zoe, life." Right? So you have to overcome in order to keep your name from being blotted out of life, right? And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And so, once again, this is reiterated in the end of Revelation. Let me read that to you. Chapter 22 and verse 17. "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And he that heareth, let him say, Come. And he that is athirst, let him come." He's, of course, speaking to us, you know, today. "He that will, let him take the water of life freely." And that word there is Zoe. You know, he that will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now, this word, who is Jesus Christ, right? This word to us is the water of life. We are entering into life as we partake of this word. We eat of the tree of life as we eat of this word, right? And by the way, it is knowledge of good and evil, but we can do that. The natural man, the knowledge of good and evil did only one thing for a natural man. It condemned him as a sinner. But for a born-again man who has the power to obey through faith in Jesus Christ, the knowledge of good and evil is very good, you know. And so the law comes, the word comes to make us sinners. But Jesus Christ came to cause us to be overcomers, that not only can we know of good and evil, but we can walk and we can refuse the evil and choose the good, as it says in Isaiah chapter 7 of Jesus himself. So that's a great thing. Praise be to God. We have a privilege that Adam did not yet enter into. And, you know, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, We're told, fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on the life eternal. There's the word again. That's Zoe. That's God's life, the spirit life, right? Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on life eternal, whereunto thou wast called. Now, we've been called to lay hold on life eternal. Well, David, I thought the Bible said we have eternal life. Yes, we have it by faith. But as you walk in that faith and endure in that faith, it becomes manifest in you. Eternal life is becoming manifest in God's people, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And so, when we fight the good fight of faith, we're laying hold on that which we were called to lay hold on. Called means invited. It didn't mean you'd have attained to it. It says you've invited to partake of it. Kaleo, it's an invitation. You've been invited. But the Bible says many are called, kaleo, and few are chosen. See, it is the chosen who actually take the faith and endure the trial and bear the fruit of eternal life. And eternal life is who? Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's no hope for glory without Christ in you. He was the sower who sowed the seed. The seed was the word of God. And that seed went into hearts in the parable of the sower. And those that gave good ground to the seed of the word of God brought forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And what were they bringing forth? Life. Eternal life. Some people think eternal life is something that God promises to you and you don't get it until after you leave this life. That's false. We're entering into eternal life. Some people are going to bear the fruit of eternal life and they're never going to die. Let me read this again. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on the life eternal, whereunto thou wast called and did confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. So what is this all about? Because that's the way you lay hold of life. Fighting the good fight of faith, confessing, which is your sword of the word, right? You confess what the word of God says about you. What God has given to you is yours, you know. This is the way that you get grace. You get grace from faith. And faith has to be proven. Faith without works is dead. If a person believes, they will speak it, they will act it, they will walk it. And in so doing, God sees your faith and he manifests to you grace. By grace, have you been saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we fight the good fight of the faith, and we lay hold on life eternal. And one way we do that, one of the most common ways we do that, is to give the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. And verse 13 says, and I charge thee in the sight of God, who giveth life, there it is, to all, and of Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession. Yes, he did. And we do too. We have to too. So in confessing the good confession, God gives us grace. And that grace comes in the form of the Zoe life. The Zoe life, right? And what do we have to do to receive the Zoe life? Well, one thing we have to do is we have to give up the suke life. Many people do not want to turn loose of the suke life. And Matthew 16 speaks of the suke life. Let me share that with you. The word suke is translated two ways in the Bible, two most common ways in the Bible, and that is soul, and it's translated life. And sometimes you see it translated soul, sometimes it may be life. But it's the same word. So let's look at verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man would come after me, and of course, where was he going? He was going into the kingdom, wasn't he? Yeah, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Self here is a word that is synonymous with soul. You know when soul is self? When it's not regenerated. When your soul is not saved, when it's not regenerated, when it's not sanctified in the ways of the Lord, that's when it's self. And, you know, this is a progressive thing. What is happening is self is being driven out of your soul and is being replaced with Zoe. Suke is being replaced with Zoe, you know. That's what we call sanctification. So let me read that again. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And a cross is to die on. But we don't have to physically die. We have to spiritually die. That is, die to self. The old man has to be crucified. We cooperate with God in this life, and that's exactly what happens. The soulish life is passing away. That is the soul that has become fleshly. You know, your soul, one way I describe it is your soul is between your spirit and your flesh. And for the carnal Christian, which means fleshly, right, this is a person whose soul has taken on the life of the flesh. And the sanctification and the conquering of our promised land is when the spirit man goes in there and conquers that land that was once fleshly and takes it over for the spirit man. So progressively, your soul is being sanctified and becoming more spiritual. If you're walking with Jesus, if you're walking in the life, if you're fighting the good fight of the faith, your soul, your mind, will, and emotions is becoming more spiritual all the time. The things that used to tempt you don't tempt you now. So this is a progressive work of going into this land and conquering it for Jesus, right? So let me read on here. For whosoever would save his life, this is the word suke, shall lose it. This is the way to save our soul, our life. How do you save your soul? You have to lose that soulish life in order to save your soul. Okay. In other words, your soul has been infiltrated with fleshly thoughts, will, emotions, and all this has to be conquered. And by faith in Jesus Christ, He takes care of all that. Okay. So, whosoever would save his suke or soul shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his suke for my sake shall find it. We have to lose our soulish self-life in order to save our soul. And, you know, this same text, by the way, is also seen in Luke chapter 9. In 25, I believe it is. Let's see. And here's what it says. For what is a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose or forfeit his own self? Same text. In fact, the verse before this says, for whosoever shall save his suke shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his suke for my sake, the same shall save it. So you can see it's the same text. And yet now he says what was said over in Matthew as life is now being called self. For what does a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose or forfeit his own self? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. So, what we have to give up is the soulish self-life. That is the flesh that has invaded a person's soul, his mind, his will, and his emotions. This has to be conquered. We have to give that up in order for our soul to be saved. When your soul is saved, what is it? Well, then you have the Zoe life in the soul. And that's what's necessary to bring forth that eternal life. That's what it is to grow in eternal life and to come into manifesting of eternal life. And this is a progressive thing, you know. The Bible tells us in, for instance, 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look there for a moment. Chapter 1 and verse 22 says, seeing that you have purified your souls. This is, what is it purified of? It's purified of the self-life, right? The unregenerate soul. Seeing that you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. Many people don't understand. Your spirit is saved simply by repentance and faith. But your soul isn't saved that way. Your soul is saved by your obedience to the truth, to the Word of God. Seeing that you have, but you see it as done. You see, notice he says seeing, you have. You see it as done. This is how faith works, just as we saw in 2 Peter. You know, seeing that his divine, seeing that his power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, right? Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently, having been begotten or born again. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which liveth and abideth. See, the Word of God is the incorruptible seed that will beget your soul unto life, unto Zoe. And it will manifest in you that life, that Zoe of Jesus Christ. And what is that? That is eternal life. See, we accept eternal life by faith, but we also manifest it as we walk in Christ. The Zoe life, right? And also, an interesting text is, you noticed that we cannot be born of man and be a part of the Melchizedek priesthood. It's without father, without mother, right? Without earthly genealogy. Well, then, how in the world can we enter into that? Well, because we have to be born from above. We have to be born from God. That's without earthly genealogy. The man who is born from God has no earthly genealogy. Your flesh has earthly genealogy. You know, it has mother and father that are earthly, but your spiritual man, not so. I mean, John chapter 3, and it says that in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born, some of your Bibles say anew, but if you look at the footnote, the Greek is from above. And the numeric also says from above, born from above. You know, Jesus said, I'm from above, you are from beneath. He was talking about those men who were unregenerate or unborn again. They were not born from above. And how do we be born from above? Well, that same word that came down out of heaven has to give life to us, right? That's right. I say unto thee, except one be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born from above. Wonder what God means by that, right? Well, if we look in John chapter 1 and verse 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word. And by the way, this is still true today. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, has that Word always been there? Yeah. Yeah. Remember, these people have no beginning of days. Does your flesh have beginning of days? Of course. You know. But your spiritual man does not, because your spiritual man is born from above. He is the Word made flesh. The Word come in flesh, right? And now it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. Of course, we know that that's Jesus, right? And in him was life. There it is, right there, Zoe. In him was life, and of course, in him is life. If we abide in him, we have the benefit of what is in Christ, right? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. The light shineth in the darkness. Now, what is he talking about? Well, in 2 Peter, we're told this, chapter 1 and 19, And we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well to take heed. What is that word of prophecy? The word of God, right? Whereunto you do well to take heed as unto a lamp shining in a dark place. You know, the Bible says the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. Proverbs 20 and 22, right? As unto a lamp shining in a dark place. What is that dark place? It's your soul. It's your self-life. Okay, the light is shining into your self-life. When you take this word into yourself, that light is shining into your self-life, destroying the works of darkness. Right? Shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. In other words, till you're totally lit up on the inside. Praise God. Knowing first that no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation. Of course, we can't pervert the word and twist it and make it mean something that it doesn't, you know, because then it's not the light, right? For no prophecy ever came by the will of men, but men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. So, in our dark soul, even when we're born again as a baby Christian, our soul is still dark because our mind, will, and emotions are still very much contrary to God. But our spirit's alive, and we have a connection to God, and we have a power from God. Okay? And that spirit will take the word of God and shine it into your soul in order to the lamp. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. God's taken this lamp into your soul, and he is burning out the darkness. Everywhere the light goes, the darkness is destroyed, right? And the darkness represents that old self-life, that old fleshly life that's invaded your soul, taken over your mind, taken over your will and emotions. And God wants to destroy that. And so that's what he's talking about over here in John chapter 1. The light shineth in the darkness apprehended it not. Okay? And then if we go down to verse 13, it says, who were born not of bloods, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. So now we're talking about something that's more in line with the Melchizedek priesthood, right? That's right. But the birth that we're talking about there is the birth of the first fruits. It's a people who have manifested. The Melchizedek priesthood is the people who've manifested the life, the eternal life. They've not only manifested the eternal life, they've manifested the Lord himself, because he is the order of Melchizedek now, right? Okay, so it's not fleshly, not carnal, because that's man, and that's born of father and mother, right? Okay. So, he says, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They're born of God. And if you're born of God, that's not man. Man's not born of God. Man is created by God, but he's not born of God. Okay? That which is born of flesh is flesh, Jesus said. And that which is born of spirit is spirit, he said. Your spirit, man, is born of God. But your flesh is born of man. So verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That Word that was with God and was God, eternally past. Remember, we have no beginning of days. Unless you're born again, you have beginning of days. And when you're born again, there's a part of you that has no beginning of days. And that part is your spiritual man. Because he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And literally in this particular verse, the word the only begotten of the Father, the word the there is an, an only begotten of the Father, because the numeric says so. There's no numeric pattern in thee in this particular text. And because Jesus was, according to Romans 8 and 29, right? Let's read that. He was the only for whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, this is not a fake here. How do you get conformed to the image of the Son? Well, it's a manifestation of the Son himself inside of you. See? So, for whom he foreknew, he foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The firstborn among many brethren. In his image. In his likeness. See? And so, these are the sons of God. And by the way, the Bible tells us that the whole creation, verse 20 in this chapter, the creation I'm going to back up one verse, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the revealing of the sons of God, or the manifestation of the sons of God. What is this manifestation? It is the same thing we're talking about here. See, the same thing we're talking about. The manifestation of the sons of God. So back over where we were, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of an only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And, the Bible says in John 3:13 that no one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. You see, when we're born from above, it is Christ in you. We're born from above. The Word who was God and was with God, that Word is coming to live in you, and that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that's what God wants. That's the fruit he's coming to pick, is Christ in you. And I know some versions add here, who is in heaven, but there's no numeric pattern in that. That was added in. Okay, so it says merely, no one hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended out of heaven. See, so we're born from above, okay? And that Word that was with God eternally past is what is creating that being that we're talking about. The Word being manifested in us is eternal. It's eternal past and it's eternal future. Have no beginning of days, nor end of life. See, that man on the inside is not human, okay? What's human, we got from our parents. See, that man on the inside is a son of God, okay? That's what many people miss and don't understand. Wow, what an awesome truth. Matter of fact, if we go to, I think I'm going to go right here in John chapter 10 and read something to you. Maybe we'll take up more on this next time. But John chapter 10, verse 33. Listen to this awesome truth here, folks. Don't let your emotions or your traditions of men ruin this for you. Okay, many do. Verse 33. The Jews answered him, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Now we know Jesus was God, but he was also man. But the Bible says in Hebrews, he had to be made in all points like unto his brethren. Listen to that. He had to be made in all points in order for him to be a faithful high priest. He had to be made in all points like unto his brethren. Uh-oh. Now we see that they called Jesus a blasphemer because he believed that he was God. Is there a part of you that's God? Well, if Jesus doesn't dwell in you, I guess not. But if he doesn't dwell in you, the Bible says you're reprobate. And the Antichrist doctrine, according to John, is those that say that Jesus doesn't come in the flesh. So when Jesus comes in your flesh, who is that in there? That's God. Okay. Now notice that they claimed he was a blasphemer because he said that he was a son of God. Verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods?" Wow. Of course, he's talking about gods with a little g, you know, but in the original, they didn't have little and big g there. But that's what he's talking about, sons of God, created in the image of Jesus Christ. That's not your carnal man. That's man. That's from below. But the Son of God that's being manifested in you is from above. You're being born again from above, from God. Born of God. John chapter 1 says. Not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You're born of God. Now, what does God, what does God's progeny look like? Okay. Doesn't look like man. Man was created. Okay. But if you're born of God, that's God. Notice what it says. I said, ye are gods. Jesus answered to them, is it not written in your law? In other words, he's saying, you say I'm a blasphemer? Well, isn't it written in your law? I said, ye are gods. And if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, he's talking to these people. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, let's be honest here, okay? If we want the truth, we've got to be honest, okay? Say ye of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am Son of God? He's rebuking them. He's saying, look, if the Bible says that you're God, and God sanctified me and sent me into the world, and you say I'm blasphemer because I say I'm Son of God, he's saying, I'm just saying the same thing the Bible says. That's what he's saying. I'm saying the same thing the Bible says. So why do you say I'm a blasphemer? In fact, if we go back over to Psalm 82 where he quoted it from, verse 6, he said, I said, ye are gods, all of you sons of the Most High. See, a son of God has to be godlike. Why is that? Because each seed brings forth after its own kind. Men bring forth men, dogs bring forth dogs. What does God bring forth? Himself. We are born of God. Isn't this exciting? Well, some people say, oh, no, that's blasphemy, David. Yeah, well, then you have to deny the scriptures to say that. You know, no, this is the word of God. I'm just quoting it right straight out of the word of God here. You know, don't let your traditions make of no effect the word of God. A son of God is a son of God, not a son of man. It's a son of God. Okay. No, we have no power to be a son of God. That comes from God himself. He calls it a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. See, so he said, I said, ye are gods, all of you sons of the Most High. Nevertheless, you shall die like men. What does that mean? It means that man in you has to die. The part that's self has to die. So that what? God can replace it with himself. Right? Nevertheless, you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God. The word is gods here. Look it up. It's plural in every case. Arise, O gods, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all the nations. Something he said in Revelation about he that overcometh. Okay? Now, back up just a little bit. Nevertheless, you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes, but arise, O God. In other words, if you die like men, you will arise as God. Are we talking about somebody who is a god in their flesh? No, we're not. Man cannot become God. That's a false doctrine. Never mind. No, just getting into that. But that's a false doctrine, that men can be as God. We're not talking about men being as God. We're talking about God giving us a birth from above so that our spiritual man is recreated in the image of God. That we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. This is the really good news. What is God creating here? Sons of God who are eternal, who will have eternal life with Him and fellowship with Him forever. That's what He's creating here. And, you know, if we don't agree with the Word of God, if we throw this out as though it's blasphemy or something like that, then that's an idolatry. See, you're making of no effect the word of God by a tradition of men. Okay, I agree totally. Man cannot be God. Okay, we're not talking about man here. We're talking about someone who is born from above. That word that came down out of heaven, that word that becomes flesh, that word that's not born of man, the word that has no beginning and has no end, no beginning of life, no end of days, no mother, no father. That word, which was eternal, which came out of God himself, that word is creating in us the manifestation of the sons of God. That's not talking about the manifestation of sons of God has got nothing to do with the flesh. That's a manifestation of the Son of Man. Okay, but the one on the inside, your spirit and your soul that is sanctified unto your spirit, that is the inner man. That is the Son of God. And the outer man and that part of your soul that is carnal, that's the outer man. That's the one that has to be decaying day by day, right? As the outer man is decaying day by day, the inner man is being renewed. He's taking his place. He's taking his place. He's taking... Now, the first fruits of those that do that, they're going to be a Melchizedek priesthood order. Because that one who lives inside of them is the Son of God. And he was born after the order of Melchizedek. And he was without father and without mother. Speaking of earthly genealogy, right? Without father and without mother. Eternal. So there is a doctrine, of course, that we all lived in heaven with God. That's false. The only way we predated ourselves was that the Word became flesh, right, and dwelt among us, right? That Word has recreated in us the life of Christ, and that Word was eternal. See, we become what the Word is. We become a manifestation of the Word of God. Because it lives in us. You know, it's like the light shining in the dark place. Until the day dawns, the day star rises in our heart. Who is the day star? Glory to God. You know, verse 1 here says, literally, gods, it's plural, Elohim here, not El, which is singular. 10 times... out of every 10 times one is L, and 9 times is plural. Gods standeth in the congregation of God. That is, gods stand in the congregation of El. El, no, God's name, right? He judgeth among the gods. Plural. People think this is false gods. But as you see at the end of the chapter, this particular chapter, he's not talking about that at all. He's talking about his sons. He judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly? Who's he talking to? He's talking to his sons. How long will you judge unjustly and respect the persons of the wicked? Judge the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the poor and needy. Deliver them out of the... In other words, God's saying, I've given you authority. You're a son of God. Why are you acting the way you're acting? You know? Rescue the poor and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the needy, of the wicked. They know not, neither do they understand. They walk to and fro in darkness, and the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you're gods. Lord, start living up to what I have given unto you. You are sons of God. You're all sons of God through faith, Paul said in Galatians. You're sons of God through faith. Now what he's talking about is manifestation of that faith, you see. In other words, actually walking in it. The Lord is going to do this in us, folks. He's going to do it. But we have to believe it. Believe exactly what the Bible says. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. I don't care who screams blasphemy, you know. They did that to Jesus and they may do it to us too. But the truth is we've got to agree with what the Word of God says, you see. And, 89... Psalm 89, verse 6 and 7, it says, for who in the skies can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty is like unto the Lord? You know what the word mighty is? It's the same word for God. That's what God means, mighty. Okay? Same word. So, read it. You can translate it this way just as easily. It's just as correct. It says, who among the sons of God is like unto the Lord, a God very terrible in the council of the holy ones. You know, God standeth in the congregation of the gods. We are his congregation. And he's correcting us. He's saying, why do you live like men? Why do you act like men? Don't you know who you are? You're my son. Doesn't the Bible say that we are the body of Christ? And who lives in the body of Christ? He does. Is he God? Yes. Well, then what part of him, what part of us is actually becoming him? Well, it's your spirit and your soul. And we have to die like men, because the man has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. The carnal man does not. The man that's born from beneath is not. Only the man that comes out of heaven is going back to heaven. That's what Jesus said, right? And so when we're born of the Word and the Word lives in us, then that's what we're talking about. God bless you and thank you so much for joining us. We'll do it again sometime.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-16-16, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus. My Lord Jesus.